ESPN 580 Orlando's Live, Local, and Loud.
Hey, welcome back. It's Live, Local, and Loud here on ESPN 580. We're broadcasting from the Victory Casino Cruises Studios, home of the only legal sports book in Central Florida. You can get in touch with the show at 844-225-5580. The text is 21232. Also on Twitter at ESPN 580. Nick and at the Jerry Daniels. Tonight's Orlando Dodge question of the night. What is the best rivalry in sports today? Tyronn Lue, head coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers, says that, you know, the Cavs and Warriors, if they meet in the finals this year for a third straight year, you put it right up there. And I imagine that T. Lue is making the point. You put it right up there with the best in history, the best in sports history. When I go back and I think about, you know, the back-to-back meetings between, what was it, like the Bulls and the Jazz and that small rivalry. But, of course, Celtics and Lakers and some of the all-time, you know, Jordan versus the Bad Boy Pistons and all of that. Yankees-Red Sox. Is this Warriors and Cavaliers rivalry, might I say? Two straight finals. It's 1-1, and I can't wait for the third matchup. And by the way, we might see more than just three. Like, this could be, you know, Lakers-Celtics meeting, what, seven times in 10 years or something. Would that meet up and be put in the same category? 844-225-5580. That's 844-225-5580. The text is 21232. That is 21232. You can also hit us up on Twitter at ESPN580. Nick, that's where you get me, Nick Grunowitz, Nicky Football, and at the Jerry Daniels, where you get my buddy Jerry Daniels. Just to dovetail off an earlier conversation I had with Scott Inez, you know, you talk about all these rivalries, and I mentioned Celtics and Lakers and, you know, the Larry Legend, Larry Bird and Magic Johnson Lakers and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and all these different guys going up to Michael Jordan and Isaiah Thomas, the big-time talent in the NBA in yesteryear. And Scotty and I today debated whether or not the talent today in the NBA is greater than the talent in, let's say, the 80s or 90s. And here's the way I really think about it is I think from about, like, 80 to 97 or so, 98, like that 18-year period to, you know, today's 2000 to 2017 or so, what that talent is like. And I think it's hands down the league is more talented today. When I'm looking at all of the top, I don't know, 30 to 50 players that will have ever played the game, that they will go down as being top 50 players that are playing now. I think Russell Westbrook's going to end up there. Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, Draymond Green. We can talk about Klay Thompson as well, though he's really kind of a one-skill guy, but still one of the greatest shooters of all time. You know, with James Harden and LeBron James and, you know, Tim Duncan and Kevin Garnett and Kobe Bryant all just retired. Like, that's 10 guys right there, and I include them in this conversation, that the talent as a whole today, much better than it was back in the past. And even you get to the role players in today's league. And Scotty talks about it being a young man's league. You know, oh, well, we're drafting on potential and 18-year-olds are coming in and they don't know how to play. Maybe not right away, but Jordan didn't make it to the finals right away either. Guys are learning how to win. Guys are developing. You look at John Wall turning into one of the all-time point guards, one of the best point guards in the league today. It has taken him some time. Giannis Antetokounmpo came in at 18 years old. It's taken him some time, and it's going to take him some more time as well. But I think that that talent, like even the middle guys in the NBA, they have a skill. Everyone can dribble now. Everyone can dribble. Everyone can shoot. Everyone has some sort of a game, an offensive game today. That wasn't the case in the past. Like, everyone talks about Dennis Rodman. I don't know if Dennis Rodman can play in today's NBA.
Yeah, he can. Because Phil Jackson said Dennis Rodman is the most basketball player he ever coached.
Phil Jackson and player evaluation. That's where I'm headed. But here's the thing. Like, everyone, like, who's today's Dennis Rodman? It's Draymond Green, right? Okay. Draymond Green shooting 50% from three in this year's playoffs.
Different player.
Dennis Rodman didn't do that. Right. So I would say Dennis Rodman would be closer to what? Tony Allen? Right? Defensive specialist or rebounder?
Sure.
The Warriors made Tony Allen basically extinct
really
in a series
Biombo
last year. They guarded five on four because they just left him in the corner. Like in today's NBA, like I know that we love to do this whole back in the day when there's hand checking, right? Like, oh, Steph Curry couldn't do it. How about we bring some of the guys in the past forward? I don't know if they could have made it in today's NBA.
That's the best thing to ask is bring those guys forward. But that said, I think it's unfair. I actually agree with you, and I'm more to the closer age of JT and Scott. And
yeah, you are.
The reason why is because just sheer numbers.
Mm-hmm.
In the 80s, the U.S. population was between 180 and 250, depending on which end of the decade you're looking at. So you've just got more people. Now we're at 350, 380.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's number one.
Population size here?
Population,
sample.
Hey.
Yeah, sample
population
size.
Sample.
All right, that's fine.
In the 80s, the sample was the U.S., maybe Canada. Now it's the world.
That's
the
a
best
good point.
Players in the world
the
now.
The international
come.
Player. Look at the great international guys in the game. Tony yeah. Parker, Manu Ginobili, Dirk Nowitzki is playing. And you're right. I mean, those guys as well.
Now, obviously, we're not getting
Giannis.
The grades from some parts of the world. But now we have to include what? China, Europe, especially Eastern Europe,
mm-hmm.
Australia. The best of Australia is coming here.
Mm-hmm.
South America and the United States. So I think the sample size now might be 2 billion people. So the talent across the middle is equal. Here's where I disagree with you.
Where's that?
The cream of the crop from back then could play today.
Oh, they could play
That's
today.
The difference. No. Wilt Chamberlain today is different because the position's different.
Yeah.
But Wilt Chamberlain is still, we're talking about Wilt Chamberlain today. We're talking about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. We're talking about Dr. J.
Kareem, we're still talking about because he had the skyhook, and Kareem stepped back a little bit. And
he was almost ahead of his time.
He definitely was. The cream of the crop back then could, absolutely. Now, I mean, Larry Bird and Magic Johnson and Michael Jordan, they all could have played moving forward today. But I would say the same thing about the cream of the crop today going back then. Like, people say Steph Curry would get muscled around. They think of Steph Curry as just a jump shooter. Steph has the handle. Steph has the elusiveness.
He kind of gets beat up a little bit.
He might get nicked
LeBron
up and pushed around. LeBron is a whole different story. Like, LeBron works everywhere. If I had one basketball game that I needed to win, that my life depended on, I would take LeBron over Michael Jordan because LeBron fits in many more circumstances. If I didn't know what they would be doing, then Michael Jordan does. But I think Steph could play in any era. Like, Steph can finish at the rim. Steph is elusive. Would he get beat up a little more? Yes. What effect that would have? We've seen him kind of beaten up near the end of some finals, but the guy has still dominated. The guy has still played well. And same thing with Russell Westbrook and James Harden. Like, that guy is quick. Like, those guys can get around the big guys. They can finish at the rim. So I think the cream of the crop, and I think we have more great players today playing at the same time than in those 90s eras.
I agree with that, but that's what I'm saying. The middle is mm-hmm. definitely better now than it ever has been in history. But we don't know how it's going to trend forward because right now the best of the best are choosing to play basketball who maybe 20 years ago might have chose to play football or baseball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it was a different generation, LeBron might
He'd
have chosen.
Yeah, LeBron would be a tight end somewhere else. It may
guaranteed
maybe,
contracts in the NBA probably helped him make a decision early on as a kid. Maybe I want to play basketball.
They do, and the concussion stuff in the NFL moving forward may help the NBA and some other sports to gain more athletes. We may see more of those types of athletes not playing in the NFL but playing soccer instead or playing lacrosse.
Plus, if LeBron was born in Dallas, do you think it's more likely LeBron becomes a football player?
If he's born where, in Dallas?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
in
we're
Cleveland,
well, we're all the
he's
products,
looking at
we're all the product
the
of our surroundings, right?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and his upbringing as well. I'll agree with you there that we are all the product of our environment and our upbringing, and LeBron was pushed towards basketball, and LeBron was naturally good at basketball, where if he was somewhere else, maybe football would have had a larger effect.
If he was
born
effect. In Canada, he would have been scary on skates.
I'd like to see that. I wonder what that would be like, but here's the thing. I mean, guys like that, they're great at whatever they do, and I don't want to make it sound like we're just drinking the LeBron Kool-Aid here, but it is very difficult to compare eras in the NBA. That being said, the narrative that Scott kind of put out there was that the middle class in the NBA was better back then than it was today. I don't know if that's necessarily the case, because today, everyone coming in can shoot the basketball. Everyone coming in can dribble the basketball. Back in the day, that wasn't necessarily the case. A guy like Dennis Rodman was a Hall of Famer and an all NBA player, basically on defense and rebounding. How many guys like that make it today? It's Tony Allen. Like, there's only a couple of dudes where it's that guy's going to D you up, but, you know, he's only one side of the ball, and it's defense. 844-225-5580.
They just sit on the bench.
844-225-5580. The text is 21232. That is 21232. It is live, local, and loud here on ESPN 580. When we come back, we'll do the Orlando Dodge question of the day. What is the greatest rivalry in sports today? Tyronn Lue thinks that it is the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Golden State Warriors as they hurtle towards a third straight finals matchup. And we'll get to the ESPN 580 Daily Rewind. Live, local, and loud here on ESPN 580.
This is ESPN 580 Orlando's live, local, and loud.
Hey, welcome back. It's live, local, and loud here on ESPN 580, broadcasting from the Victory Casino Cruises Studios, some of the only legal sports book in Central Florida. You can get in touch with the show at 844-225-5580, the text 21232, also on Twitter at ESPN 580 Nick and at the Jerry Daniels. The Orlando Dodge question of the night, we're going to get to it right now, as well as continue our NBA discussion from the last segment about the talent level in the league today as to in past years, the 80s and the 90s. But the question of the night, best rivalries in sports. Tyronn Lue of the Cleveland Cavaliers says you're going to have to put Cavs-Warriors up there with the best of them if those teams do indeed meet in the NBA Finals this year. And it does feel like they are destined to meet for a third straight season after the Warriors won the finals a couple of years ago. LeBron brought his team back from down 3-1 last season. And here we are once again. Both teams have swept the first two rounds. They're both 8-0. First time in NBA history that two teams have swept their first two-round series, and they're both awaiting their opponents. And it's almost like the rich keep getting richer. Like, I'm watching that Houston Rockets-San Antonio Spurs game last night, and I had mentioned this on yesterday's show, too, that the Golden State Warriors are sitting there waiting for a team that they already know they can beat, but they're also going to get a team that is weakened. Whether if Houston wins the series, they've already lost the nay for the rest of the playoffs. Mike D'Antoni is playing seven guys because he doesn't trust the rest of the dudes. And what, Sam Decker is a better option than anybody else he's playing. And if Houston wins, they're going to have to go seven games. They're going to have to play the Spurs in San Antonio for a game seven, turn around 2 days later, and play at Golden State in game one. That's called a schedule loss in my book. On the other side, San Antonio, if they win it in six, let's say, or seven, Golden State is going to get a Spurs team that is old, that is tired, that is without Tony Parker, a Kawhi Leonard that is at the very least nicked up, and they're led by a 39-year-old Manu Ginobili, a Chinese League All-Star and a former D-League MVP.
Yep.
Golden State, the rich keep getting richer in the NBA, and Golden State is sitting there basically just waiting for who
both
they're going
teams
to get.
Are going to get more beat up, too. Someone else on either side.
You think so?
Yeah.
We've seen a ton of injuries in this year's playoffs. 844-225-5580. The text is 21232. So the greatest rivalries in sports. Jerry, what do you think? Do you put Warriors-Cavs up there with the best of these two teams meet for a third straight year?
I didn't until KD made the move.
Oh, that's interesting.
It changed everything for me.
So if there's no KD on this team, you're not putting them up there?
Because at the time, what the problem was is I started to like both teams. I started to really appreciate what LeBron was trying to do for Cleveland. And how could you have hated that Golden State team until last year? Then all of a sudden, KD changed everything. Now I hate the team. Now I hate what they stand for. Now I find myself rooting for Cleveland. It's going to pain me if I have to watch Mike Brown coach against LeBron, because then I'm rooting for Mike Brown. But yes, that's all of a sudden now a great rivalry. And in fact, I agree. It might be the greatest playoff rivalry, not the greatest rivalry, but the greatest playoff rivalry in all of American sports.
I think tonight's game between the Caps and Pens might say otherwise. Like, that rivalry has been great.
It's incredible, but America doesn't care.
America doesn't care, and they're not playing for the same with the same thing on the line. Like, these two teams are meeting with the NBA Finals on the line. The other is a trip to the Stanley Cup Finals. And these two teams, the thing that I always work in when there's a rivalry, it's not just you play each other a lot. Like, all these teams play each other, right? I mean, there's cross-conference play. They all see each other. Is there bad blood?
Yeah.
Right. Is there some sort of is there hate? Hate in sports is so good. We're seeing it right now with the Celtics and the Wizards. Like, those two teams, they hate each other. And the Kelly Oubre Jr. and the Kelly Olynyk, the Kelly on Kelly crime in game number three, even just it added things. It was better. Yeah. Earlier this year, the Washington Wizards showed up to a game against the Celtics in all black, saying it was a funeral game because they were going to kill those guys in a game. Not literally in a game. It wasn't that morbid. But when you look at the Warriors and the Cavaliers, there is so much bad blood between those two. You got Draymond Green reaching and grabbing LeBron's undercarriage. You know, you got him kicking guys left and right. You've got Kyrie Irving getting injured and LeBron losing, and the whole Halloween party you know, last year after they come back from down 3-1. It is a rivalry where the Warriors went out and they got Kevin Durant because of the respect they have for LeBron. Like, there is a hate and a respect there. Yeah. And even ESPN front office insider Amin El-Hassan, he said this earlier today on ESPN. These teams don't like each other, but they do respect each other.
I don't think there's any love lost, but I think there's definitely a respect. I know if the Cavs didn't respect the Warriors at the beginning of the season, riding high off their championship, they did it by the time they played on MLK Day and they got blown out. And likewise for the Warriors, I think losing in the finals and then losing on Christmas Day really renewed the respect they have for the Cavaliers. I don't think they like each other much, but I think definitely there's a respect there.
Yeah, they've been throwing shade back and forth. And Draymond Green as well, after sweeping the Jazz, saying that the Cavs have played nobody in the playoffs. The Cavs' opponents, he'd like to see them play harder. You know, it's even more. They are very aware of what the other is doing, and they know they're headed for a third straight matchup. And, yeah, I'd put them up there with just about any other rivalry in sports. And we are kind of devoid of a great rivalry in sports right now. Someone remind me of some of the great ones around sports, because we don't seem to have them like we used to.
You're going to have a couple in baseball this year. You're going to have two good ones. You're going to have Yankees-Red Sox battling it out with the Orioles and the AL East.
Here's
and I'm
why.
Telling you right now, the Cardinals and the Cubs are going to have a banner year this
Cardinals,
year.
Cardinals-Cubs.
Yes.
Okay. I hope
and that's
so.
An old one.
It's a fun rivalry. It's an old rivalry. It's not quite as well publicized. The Cubs-Cardinals rivalry does not have the better PR agent than the Yankees-Red Sox. Here's my problem with baseball, though. Those two teams are going to play each other 27 times this year. Right, it's the amount of inventory we have as well. It's why the rivalries in football are always better. We had Brady Manning, now Manning's gone, and it's just Brady. And in hockey, as I said, you know, Ovechkin and Crosby only meet every so often in the playoffs. I can't think of some of the great rivalries, like, I guess, Alabama-Auburn. Like, let's get into college football, I guess, into what some of those are.
Yeah, but, they're included as well. Lines are open, 844-225-5580. Yeah, you got to include college everything in the mix. I mean, we're not going to talk about college baseball here on Live Local and Loud, but although I props to UCF for a season that they're having right now. But anyways, the point is that you've got to include basketball, got to include college basketball in that conversation. I mean, UNC Duke probably comes into that
same
conversation.
Same thing. I don't think that the hate is the same, though, and I think the one and dones have ruined that because there's no history. Like Grayson Allen going back to Duke for four straight years
is
great.
But it's the coaches.
The coach are. But there's so much respect between Coach K and Roy Williams. Like, there's no more like hate like that. I don't see the same kind of hate.
Everybody hates Kentucky.
Let's go to the phone lines. 844-225-5580. Text is 21232. Bill is in the land to start things off. Bill, you're the leadoff hitter here on Live Local and Loud. What's up?
I love your show. You guys are doing great. What so many things to respond to. As far as I think you got to look at Army-Navy as probably the greatest rivalry in America. It doesn't capture the nation's imagination like it should, and that's part of, I guess, what you're defining as a rivalry. But I ask you to come to my house during that game and see what's going on. There, it's storied, it's legendary, it's got heroes involved. It's a big deal. I wish the country loved it more.
No, it is a big deal. I love that the Army Air Corps, the now Air Force, kind of sides one direction, and then the Marines fall in line with the Navy. It is a great rivalry. That is a good one.
Absolutely, no doubt. And as far as basketball goes, the athlete itself, the athlete him or herself, has evolved over the years, and the game has evolved where now I think if you're looking at basketball, it is more multi-dimensional players. The fours and fives are doing things now that never happened in Russell and Chamberlain's day, never even happened during the 80s with the great, you know, Celtics-Lakers rivalry, which I go down as the best of all time. There was hate. There was McHale knocking down, you know, I forget his name all of a sudden, but the battles they went at were legendary. But Army-Navy, top of the deal. Thanks for letting me chime in.
Hey, Bill, really do appreciate you listening, and thank you for always calling in as well. And Army-Navy, you're right. I mentioned Cubs-Cardinals not having the best PR agent. Kind of the same thing for Army-Navy. Like, it used to be one of the premier rivalries, and now that game doesn't have the same kind of sizzle. And as I mentioned, like, I'm a young guy, right? Like, I'm a young guy. I thrive on enthusiasm and excitement and sizzle, and I get caught up in a lot of that. But Army-Navy, when you're talking about history, you're talking about tradition. I had a friend that went to the Naval Academy, and I still tune in and watch, and how when they're at Navy and they and the Navy fans, and this is for every game, when they process in and then they all stand and sit up, it's a great tradition and a great rivalry between those two. So you knock that one out of the park. Brilliant phone call, Bill. Really do appreciate it as always. 844-225-5580. Text is 21232. Lakers, Celtics, one you can definitely throw out there, and even one that has carried through to today when the Celtics and Lakers met up in kind of back-to-back title games in the late 2000s. Same thing, you know, in Kobe's latter part and in the latter part of the big three there, we had the same kind of hate. It was great. So that's the one that sticks out the most to me, Lakers, Celtics, and they always kind of have that premier feeling to them in sports. Now, when you get into college football, I'm thinking Alabama, Auburn, right? Like, that one sticks out. Michigan, Ohio State, can't believe it took me that long. Florida, Florida State. Miami gets into some of these, but, I mean, Florida, Florida State feels like the premier one in my mind in the state of Florida as well. 844-225-5580. Text is 21232. As always, phone calls are jam-packed here. We're going to go to all your calls when we come back here on Live Local and Loud. We're talking about the greatest rivalries in sports. If the Cavaliers and the Warriors meet for a third straight year, do you put it in the conversation as the all-time great, some of the all-time greatest rivalries in sports? That's next, Live Local and Loud here on ESPN 580.
This is ESPN 580 Orlando's Live Local and Loud.
Hey, welcome back. It's Live Local and Loud here on ESPN 580, broadcasting from the Victory Casino Cruises Studios, home of the only legal sports book in Central Florida. You can get in touch with the show at 844-225-5580. The text is 21232. Also on Twitter, at ESPN 580 Nick and at the Jerry Daniels. Our question on the board, if they meet for the third time in a row, third straight year, Cavaliers and Warriors, can you put that rivalry in the NBA? And it's one of the only rivalries we have in the NBA right now, short of, I guess, what, Wizards-Celtics, and that is a short
it
memory
is a good one.
It is. There's a lot of hate there. And that's kind of that's a precursor for me. But if those teams meet for a third straight year, do you put Warriors and Cavaliers up there in terms of some of the greatest sport in one of the greatest sports rivalries of all time? He's Jerry Daniels. I'm Nick Grunowitz. Thanks for joining us here on Live Local and Loud. And I guess when I think about a rivalry, it can't just be that you're playing in high leverage games. There has to be a lot of emotion there, which I guess comes with the high leverage games. But there has to be some bad blood. There has to be something on the line. People really have to care, not just the players, but the fan bases, which is why when I think of some of the greatest rivalries, you know, they come in a place like Alabama-Auburn. Where is that located? You know, it's southeast.
Well, that's the difference right there. You just nailed
matters.
It.
Yeah.
It's when fans who don't care about either team any other time of year pick sides.
I'm glad you said that because that's exactly where I was
headed. That's what makes a rivalry.
Just because these two pieces of laundry are playing, am I the casual fan? Me, the media guy. Yeah. You know, Ohio State, Michigan, I don't miss that game every year, any year, right?
Yep.
When Notre Dame plays USC, let's say, I don't miss that game. I want to watch. Right. The Reggie Bush push. You say that to Scott Inez, the Notre Dame guy, the Golden Domer here at ESPN 580, Scotty will throw up in the wastebasket, okay? And he still believes today that was an illegal Bush push, and it does not. Man, I can't say Bush push enough. It just makes him so angry. But I same thing, Florida State, Florida. I love those matchups. Let's get back to the phone lines. We'll start with Richard in Lake Mary at 844-225-5580. Richard, you're up next here on Live Local and Loud. What's going on, Richard?
All right, let's change up a bit to keep the theme that you guys have got going.
Sure.
Isn't it fantastic? But the NBA rivalries, of course, and you guys know this. I mean, if we're talking about an Eastern Conference, Western Conference team, you guys may play twice a year. So just like you said earlier, Nick, if we're talking about the Golden State and Cleveland, it's going to be a playoff rival. Because
right.
one home and home, it's a big deal.
Yeah, Christmas Day every year.
So playoff rivalry, it's the same thing. And this is going to be the same thing. Same thing as Celtics-Lakers. It's a playoff rivalry. It's a play-in month. So, and the only reason it's a playoff rivalry is why? Because they're all there again. So it's like they're going to be there. You cannot have a playoff rivalry with hate. Now, of course, you have the Eastern Conference. You can have your Knicks and your Pistons. You can have those sort of things. And like you just said in baseball, look at those baseball rivalries. You've got the Yankees and Red Sox. You've got the same division. You've got the Cubs and the Cardinals, same division. So if you're going to have those kind of rivalries, the NBA will not have them cross-conference unless it's in the finals, unless those teams are absolutely dominating.
That's a good point.
Let's go real quickly here. I'm going to give Jerry some credit. I thought he was fantastic when he said, you know what, the guys back in the day, tell me, give me an NBA player today on the fourth or fifth spot, and he's better than the number two player back in the day. Does that mean those guys were bad? No. It means players developed. Tiger Woods, 1997, best golfer by miles. These guys today, if they went back to 1997, with the strength they have and the talent they have, they would beat Tiger Woods. So it's just how the game changes, and you can't fight it, you can't change it, you can't compare eras, you know, if you're either dominant or you're not. So in tennis, two guys to win every tournament. In golf, 100 guys to win any tournament. In the NBA, the guys that were 100 in the NBA now are better than anybody ever played.
They are.
20 years ago.
Yeah, they are, Richard, and you're right, because everyone has strided, stridden, whatever. They've strived to meet that expectation of Michael Jordan, to compete with Jordan, to compete with LeBron. That excellence, of course, that competition breeds excellence, and that's why we're seeing better players today. Good call, Richard. Really do appreciate it. 844-225-5580. Text is 21232. Let's go to Steve in Maitland. Steve, you're up next here on Live, Local, and Loud. What's going on, Steve?
Hey, guys. How are you doing tonight?
Doing good.
Before I get into Robert, sure. Just tapping on something Richard said about Tiger Woods and golf. It reminds me of an old story somebody once said about Tony Gwynn. In the mid-90s, they asked Tony Gwynn what Ted Williams would hit if he were in the league today. And Tony Gwynn said he'd hit about 270. And the reporter asked, you know, this is a guy, you know, the greatest hitter who ever lived. How could you only say he'd hit 270? And Tony Gwynn answered, you got to remember, the guy would be 72 years old. So I think anybody who thinks a 20-year-old Tiger wouldn't dominate now, sorry, Richard, you're out of your mind. Second of all, when we talk about rivalries, I don't think that Cleveland-Golden State is going to be a great rivalry for some of the reasons people touched on. But the bottom line is this. 5 years from now, when LeBron is gone and Steph Curry has moved on, Golden State's still going to be Golden State. Cleveland's still going to be Cleveland, and nobody's going to care. You look at the great rivalries, Alabama-Auburn is at the top of the list in just terms of pure hate. I mean, show me another rivalry where a fan is willing to poison
a 300-year-old
tree because his team lost. And, you know, being that Orlando is a soccer town, and being that I am a fan not of Orlando City but of my beautiful green and gold Portland Timbers, I have to throw in the greatest rivalry in MLS, the greatest rivalry in North American soccer, the Portland Timbers and the Smelly Fishing Village from up north. There is no rivalry in the MLS like the Timbers and the Flounders. It's been around for 40-plus years.
That's a good one.
Your hate.
Wow. Sorry, but that's a good one.
That is, if you get a chance to see, to go out, whether it be to that stadium up in the Fishing Village, which is a really nice stadium, or Providence Park, there is no rivalry, there is no experience in North American soccer. In all respect to Orlando City, you can have your wall, we'll keep the North End, but if you want to see pure hate, pure intensity, and pure soccer rivalry like you'll see in Europe, go to a Timbers Sounders Cascadia Derby game at Providence Park. I promise you, you will come away with a new sense of what soccer fandom, soccer hate, and soccer rivalry is.
Steve, I'm going to put it on the bucket list right there. Steve sold me. I'm going to put it on the bucket list.
No, it is. It's the classico of the United States.
Sounders Timbers. All right.
Hands down. He's 100% right.
I'm putting it on the bucket list. I'm going to schedule that at some point in time, make sure I catch one of those games. He sold it well there.
They sell out Seahawks Stadium.
Oh, yeah. CenturyLink? Yeah. Oh, yeah, they do. 844-225-5580. Text is 21232. He mentioned Florida. He mentioned Alabama, Auburn in there, yeah. Ohio State, Michigan. He's right. They meet year after year. Usually a playoff trip or a division championship is on the line when those teams do meet. Let's go to Jason in Orlando. Jason, you're up next here on Live, Local, and Loud. What's going on, Jason?
Big up to Live, Local, and Loud crew. So listen. let me get a fuck out of my voice. I got three main rivalries.
Okay. Okay.
First of all, over the past 12 years, Usain Bolt and Justin Gatlin, you made the point where fans who are not normally fans of the sport get into it. The Justin Gatlin-Usain Bolt rivalry became almost a good versus evil thing, where entire countries wanted one or the other to win because of the whole controversy between the two.
Right.
And yes, Justin used to kick Usain's Bolt before 2008, and I do mean kick. Like, he came first, and Usain will be eighth. And in 2008, everything changed. That's what. Football. Real Madrid and Barcelona. Come on. That rivalry is going four decades. It's still the most compelling thing in football. Like, it's Messi and Ronaldo now, but it was Ronaldinho before. It was Capella before. I mean, we're talking about four decades of pure rivalry where people who aren't even into football get into the classic role.
Jason, what's your third one?
Argentina-Brazil.
Okay.
That rivalry is bloody. Like in the 80s and the 90s, you'd have a Maradona running up on a Socrates, jumping into his chest, drawing blood, and fans killing each other because of that rivalry.
All right. Three good ones.
Yeah.
Those are three good ones, Jason. I like those. A little international feel to those as well. We had track. We had everything.
Classico
in there.
Might be the best rivalry in sports in the world.
I have to start watching more soccer.
I'm just telling you, that particular one.
We've reached a point though where I feel like I'm missing out. Like everyone's having more fun than I am because I'm not watching soccer. Let's check in with Jason in Orlando. Jason, you're up next here on Live Local and Loud. What's up, man?
What's going on, fellas? Started off with track and field. He lost me. I almost hit the tree. I don't think I've ever heard anybody talk track and field on a radio, but hey, that's just me. Guys, listen, I don't think that a rivalry with Golden State and Cleveland is a rivalry. One caller brought it up. Once these good players leave, what do you have? It isn't like what you have in college football with Florida State, Florida. Florida's down, but guess what? The week of Florida State, Florida, there's everybody going at it. There's hatred, pure hatred. And I think that's what helps make a rivalry. The reason why the rivalry with the Bulls and Pistons back in the 90s was great, because you had pure hatred. That's why I think one of the best, and there's tons across every sport, but it's got to be the Yankees and Red Sox. There's hatred. I hate the Red Sox. I will never root for a Red Sox. I will never give them their due. I can almost, as much as I respect some of these guys, given for what they give to Jeter, I don't think me as a Yankee fan would ever give that respect to an Ortiz or a Clemens that played for them or whoever it is, because I just hate
you. You wouldn't have stood up for Ortiz's last game at Yankee Stadium, Jason?
Hey, Jeter, there's no way, buddy. I'm sorry. I can respect him as a ball player, but I would never give him a cheer. I would never. It's the same thing.
Wow, Jason,
say,
that's cold, Jason, man. I didn't realize you were that cold, man.
Buddy, it's a rivalry. I hate them. It's the same thing. I'm a Florida State fan. I hate the Gators. If their stadium was on fire, I wouldn't put water or pee on it. That's just the way rivalries go,
wow,
fellas.
Jason going R. Kelly on.
Yeah, we're up against it here, Jason. Quickly,
right,
one question for you. You're a Florida State fan. Was that Jim McElwain? Oh, he's gone. I was gonna ask, was that Jim McElwain in that Gator photo, in that shark photo? That is unbelievable. The hate and the rivalry is true. In the NBA, though, it's not a laundry league. Don't forget that. It's going to be different. It's an era thing. Lakers-Celtics, same thing because of the guys that played then. It's not a laundry league like some of these other schools, whether it be in college or other professional leagues. 844-225-5580. Text is 21232. The greatest rivalries in sports. We'll touch on that as we continue. Hour number two coming up next. It's Live, Local, and Loud.